We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Brian Geltzeiler. You hear him on Sirius XM Radio and NBA TV. He's the Hoops critic. Brian, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good, guys. How we doing?
Brian, we're doing good. I hate that critic thing, man, because people think you're coming on and you're just going to blast everybody, you know? Like, damn, Brian, we gotta change that to good guy Brian's coming on. Hey, Brian.
I like the critic part. They should understand that there is, the hammer doesn't always get used, but it's here and it's in the tool. It's
always tool ready.
And it's ready to be. It's always ready at any time.
Hey, I want to ask you, it has nothing to do with negative stuff except the injury bug. No Kevin Durant. Do you think Kevin Durant's going to play in this series, or are we just getting the big fool like he's not a few days away?
No, I think Kevin Durant's going to play in this series. I do think, though, there's two different factors at play. Number one is obviously the status of the series at 1-1. I felt as though going into Game 2 that if the Warriors were down 2-0, we would see him as soon as Game 3, even if it's not for a ton of time and it's just for some decoy value, because when Durant's on the floor, he is an absolute presence out there, even if he's far from 100%. But I did feel like with the series going to 1-1, they might try to hold him out for a little bit of a healthier version on Friday till Game 4. But now with Klay Thompson's status being in question, with Kevon Looney being out for the series, and guys, do not sleep on the fact that Kevon Looney is out for the series. That weakens their defense in a big way with the way they switch and really doesn't give them another person to go to besides for Cousins in the middle that can be strong on that end of the floor. Because, listen, for as well as Cousins played, Toronto attacks him and tries to bring him to Leonard every single possession, he's out there. So you look at that, and then now, obviously, with Klay with these issues and being questionable, do you push Durant to Game 3 is the question. I still think they play a longer game with him. We see him in Game 4 of this series. But if I'm Kevin Durant, free agency be damned, man. I would hate to see this team win a title with me sitting at the conference finals and the finals with all the rumblings that you get that this team doesn't need Kevin Durant. This team does need Kevin Durant. But I do think we see him at one point or another in this series.
Guts, are you impressed with Boogie coming out, you know, starting that game and coming out and actually playing pretty well?
Zach, I couldn't be more impressed with
right,
Boogie.
Right.
And I'll say this. I mean, I tweeted out after during Game 1 that, you know, he didn't play badly in Game 1, but he only played 8 minutes, and he looked a whole lot more like the guy that ate DeMarcus Cousins instead of DeMarcus Cousins. But he stepped out onto the floor as a starter in Game 2, and yes, with a little bit of extra weight on him, but he busted his backside. And, you know, Kerr's plan for him was 20 minutes. His plan also was not for Looney to get hurt after only playing 10 minutes. So they had to stretch him and push him, and adrenaline kind of drove him a little bit. Boogie Cousins, maybe more than any other player in this series, will benefit greatly from the space between games. So I think you'll see an even stronger version of him. I mean, Kerr's not going to run him over 30 minutes, but you saw the effect he can have playing 28 minutes in the game. They need him desperately. And listen, this is the wild part about all the embarrassment of riches and all this talent on the Golden State team. And Kerr was absolutely right when he said this. They needed the offense. They needed another score in there for that team. And the ironic part is that Boogie's major contribution didn't even really come necessarily in scoring. They did have 11 points, but Boogie's big contribution was he had every big defensive rebound late in that game. And he had 6 assists. They used him at point center for a time. So listen, I give DeMarcus Cousins a lot of credit. He is right now out here competing in the NBA final for a contract, but he's not going rogue. He's playing within this team concept, and he's understood that really the holy grail for him, the brass ring to go grab, is to play a role in this team winning a title to be able to go get paid next summer. And the fact is that he's grown up a little bit too. His behavior level within this team, within this franchise, has been demonstrably different than it was when he was in New Orleans and it was certainly when he was in Sacramento.
Brian, no Kevin Durant, no Klay Thompson in Game 3. I don't think Golden State can win, even at home. Do you?
I think they can. I think it'll be a tight game. The one thing you have to remember about them is that they are still a very, very good defensive team. Now, listen, I'm not saying Quinn Cook's sneaking up on anybody again, and certainly the minutes they got out of him late in that game were absolutely precious, and it was very hard to hang on without Clay. But home crowd, I give Golden State a puncher's chance with the way they defend. One thing's very important about what you saw defensively from Golden State game one to game two. Game one, they made a concerted effort. We're going to keep Kawhi Leonard from killing us and make these other guys beat us. And what happened? Other guys ate you alive. Siakam had 32. Marc Gasol had 20. They decided in game two. And listen, it wasn't even decided. It was the fact that we need to guard Siakam more aggressively. We just need to look at these other guys. And listen, late in that game, they moved Draymond Green over to Kyle Lowry to try to keep Lowry from doing anything in the paint, because Lowry off the bounce in the paint is really the most important engine that drives Toronto's offense, because it creates space for everybody else. So they made it a point to get on Gasol. Now, Gasol had foul trouble too, which helped. They made it a point to guard Siakam tight. But even putting Draymond on Lowry for a while kept Lowry from being as assertive as Toronto needs him to be. It was a very good strategy, because here's what I'll say about Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard was capable of beating Philly on his own. Just barely, but capable of beating Philly on his own. He was certainly more than capable of beating Milwaukee on his own. I just don't know that he's capable of beating Golden State on his own. And that's even with a compromised version of Golden State. This is the thing I said, well, listen, the Warriors are going to struggle to score if Klay Thompson and Durant don't play. There's no doubt. But can they defend well enough to beat this Toronto team? The answer might just be yes.
Wow. Gelty, we saw it up close and personal here after the 4 years with the Big Three and LeBron leaving after they lost to San Antonio. Does Toronto have to win for Kawhi to stay? Because after game one, you know, you see, oh, maybe he's happy there. And then after game two, well, reports are that he still wants out. Do they have to win the championship for Kawhi to stay? What do you think?
I don't think it matters. I mean, he's leaving regardless. It's no blight on the city of Toronto or the fans or even that organization. It's just that it was a stopover for him. That's all it was from the beginning. And I think what happens is, you know, listen, there's guys that can go into a situation like that, see all the success, and get sentimental. Kawhi Leonard's not one of those guys. He's a really bright guy, and one of the biggest mistakes the San Antonio Spurs hierarchy and coaching staff and even his teammates made is they mistook quiet for stupid. He's a really bright guy, and I think Kawhi Leonard looks at the situation and realizes signing for 5 years in Toronto may put me on an island in terms of being able to have what I need around me to win. Gasol's an older player at this point. Lowry's an older player at this point. Keep this in mind. Gasol, Lowry, Ibaka, and Van Vliet come off the books in the summer of 2020. That's a full $85 million. You have no idea what they're going to reload with. Here's the other bigger factor in all that. If you told Kawhi that Masai Ujiri was guaranteed to be there to build this team for the next 5 years, well, that would be a different story as well, and I think that would be something that potentially could keep him there. There's a reason the Wizards haven't filled their vacant GM job, guys, I got to tell you. And they waited to talk to Tim Connelly when Denver was out. Now they're waiting to talk to Masai Ujiri. And Masai Ujiri very well may not be there. And for everything that they've done with their year-long recruiting pitch to Kawhi, Masai's been a huge part of that. If there's no guarantee that Masai's going to end up staying there when all this is over, there's no way. And I just think, listen, the organizational structure with the Los Angeles Clippers is extremely appealing to Kawhi Leonard. He's got a championship coach in Doc Rivers. Lawrence Frank is as good an executive as there is. They've kept their entire front office intact. They have one of the best owners in all sports in Steve Ballmer. And Jerry West is there guiding the ship and being the consultant. You look at that front office. You look at what they've built, cap space, picks, all of it. This is a really attractive place. If Kawhi's the first to go there, he's probably not going to be the last. Somebody's going to go join him there. And plus, you know, listen, he just bought this big house down at Rancho Santa Fe near San Diego. And it's you know, he'll be able to get back and forth from Staples. He has two young kids. It's like all of this works for him. It's where he grew up. It's where he wants to live. It's where he wants to be. It's the perfect storm. And unfortunately for the Raptors, it's probably too big a mountain for them to climb.
Getting away from the finals for just a second, I want to ask you, who has the best AD trade package offer to make for New Orleans? Would you say it's the Celtics or the Lakers with the Jaylen Brown and Tatum and Smart versus Ball, Ingram, and Kuzma and draft picks and everything else could be thrown in?
you know, Joe, I had a conversation with an NBA GM yesterday, and it was an interesting conversation regarding the Anthony Davis talks. It's definitely the Celtics. The Celtics, if they're willing to put Tatum, Brown, Smart, and the number 14 pick in a deal, he's theirs, because ultimately David Griffin would sign Tatum and Brown to second contracts, and Tatum, Brown, Williamson would be how he would build that team, and he'd keep Jrue Holiday in that scenario as well, and they'd really be a good team as early as next year. The problem is that if you're Danny Ainge, you're going to do this for Anthony Davis because you're going to pair him with Kyrie Irving. There's a significant chance they're going to lose Kyrie Irving. And if you're going to lose Kyrie Irving and you make that trade to get Anthony Davis, you left yourself with Anthony Davis and nada. And I don't know that Horford and Hayward and Rozier are going to be enough to keep make Anthony Davis want to stay in Boston. So I don't think Boston's going to pony up what New Orleans would really want from them.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one issue. The other issue is New York. Listen, New York has what it takes. The question becomes for the Knicks is, do you take this leap of faith? Give them the number three pick, which is probably going to be R.J. Barrett. You give them the Dallas unprotected you got in the Porzingis trade. They would want the Dallas protected picks and all your young player assets. Knox Robinson, and even you'd have to throw Dennis Smith and Neal Akina in for salary purposes. So, like, you go up and down the line and look at that. Are the Knicks willing to part with that much? And it's funny because up till now, I've been very anti-Lakers for AD. After this conversation yesterday, the one word that kept being used to me is the Lakers are desperate enough to give New Orleans all of it.
Yep.
And if they're desperate enough to give New Orleans all of it, everybody that they want, even if there's guys going in that deal that are just free look kind of guys, because I don't know this. I know David Griffin well enough to know. I don't know that he's going to want to sign Ingram, Kuzma, and Ball all to second contracts here. And that's the difference between the Laker offer and the Boston offer. Boston, if you bring Tatum and Brown in, you will re-sign them to second contracts for big money and be thrilled to keep them. I don't know that you feel that way about the Laker guys, but the four pick, those three players, if they're willing to give you all of it, and either the Knicks or the Celtics are willing to give you all of it, or the Clippers for that matter, who really have enough to get in the mix as well, he's probably going to end up being on the Lakers. And again, I haven't felt that way until that conversation I had yesterday. This is the first time I'm saying it over any airwaves. But in terms of what I'm hearing, other teams that could be in the mix for Anthony Davis and could have the best offer may come up just a little bit short because they just don't want to give everything. For the Lakers, they don't have a choice but to give everything.
So 0% chance he actually plays with Zion, Anthony Davis and Zion, because that's kind of a sexy little look right there also.
It is. The thing is this. Griff understands two things. Number one, if he lets the cat out of the bag at this point that there's no way impossible he can keep Anthony Davis, it reduces his leverage in the open market. The fact that they had a meeting and they kind of said, we're going to talk again means I'm going to do the best I can to trade you to one of your destinations or you're going to keep your mouth shut that you still want out. That's pretty much what we're going to talk again means there. And then the other thing is that if Griff's going to move him, his options are as open can be moving him draft week, because ultimately he can use some of last year's expiring contracts as cap fodder in a deal and end up trading Davis and essentially getting cap space for trading Davis because you're taking back expirings on guys whose contract expired in 10 days, 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So to me, I think that Davis is definitely gone, and I think it's going to happen much sooner rather than later.
All right.
When does the IV of coffee and caffeine go into you? June 30th or is it July 1st when you have to do that?
Probably sometime around July 10th when I return from Vegas.
Oh, okay, good.
because it's a crazy time, guys. We go from finals right to draft work, and I'm covering the draft for NBA Radio. And then after the draft, I get a short respite. My short respite, I spend down at Duke at basketball camp with my son for 4 days. I come back less than a week later. I'm on a plane to Vegas. I spend 3 days doing the NBA Summer League stuff in Vegas, which, don't get me wrong, guys, I am not complaining. It's as fun as 3 days as I have all year long. But by the time I come back, I'm pretty much ready to collapse at that point. That's where, I think there's a whole lot more of that going in that IV than just coffee.
Sure. I could maybe a B12 shot in there also.
Like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Gelty, thank you so much for your
Thanks,
time.
Brian,
we always appreciate it.
Always my pleasure, guys. Look forward to doing it again soon. Take care.
All right, Brian Geltzeiler from SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA TV. That's
AD to the Lakers.
AD to the Lakers, huh?
AD to the Lakers. LeBron and AD.
Magic left a couple days too early.
Hell of a nice way to start your franchise rebuild.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.